Hello, welcome. This is Take Two. Thank you very much indeed for subscribing. I think it's all gone very well so far. Take One, memorable for Jeff being on, talking about...
He talks in a way in which he does a thing about it. It's something quite quiet, and then suddenly there's a loud bit, and it's often in a bit which you actually don't expect.
But
I was drinking this cup of coffee.
I mentioned just a minute but I just wanted to.
I thought that was actually quite a good Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, well,
I thought that was actually quite good.
No,
yeah, thank you. Not from really. Behind the control panel.
Well, I don't know anything. They're listening to Steve Wright again. There's a game that they play. This is another Radio 4 show.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. Where they just take it in turns to say words. And the point is not to finish a sentence.
Okay.
And it is fantastic. But it sounded as though Jeff Goldblum was playing that. And that he would get to the end of a sentence and then come up with another clause. And it would go off in an entirely different direction.
The thing I love about him, well, apart from everything else that I love about him, is that his voice is like music. And it has a cadence, and it's almost like he's finding the way around the sentence, and I don't know where this is going, but suddenly it's picking up speed because I'm suddenly discovering that's the thing I didn't know I was actually aiming towards, Simon.
That's good. That is good. And also, if you listen back to the interview, as I did when it played out, you can hear there's a question that he doesn't like. And it's the question when I ask, it was basically compare and contrast the dinosaurs at the beginning to the dinosaurs
that we see. Oh, you want me to talk about that? Well, I suppose I could talk about that if you feel that would be interesting.
No, he says if you're interested or if any of your listeners are interested, I could give you that answer. Actually, I still think it's a perfectly reasonable question. But anyway, Jeff, if you're still with us on this, the invitation is out there. You can come along and play music when you're next touring the country. Maybe you've got another album. To promote. By the way, if you want to get in touch, correspondence@kermodemayo.com, but also all these other addresses work.
Okay.
podcast@kermodemayo.com, mark@kermodemayo.com.
You serious?
simon@kermodemayo.com. Take, also mail, also info, also correspondence. So if you spell it wrong, correspondence, that gets to us. Also,
this is great. Have we actually done all of these?
These all, Mark and Simon.
Excellent.
Take, Team, and Two. All of them.
Very good.
All of those versions mean that you can get in touch with us. But the conventional one would be correspondence@kermodemayo.com. Mark from Bristol. Some years ago, I asked the good doctor on Twitter a book about Dario Argento he could recommend.
Yes, I did. I recommended
suggested a fantastic book by Alan Jones, yes. Which is the most exhaustive book on the Italian
exhaustive
maestro
and exhausting
I could ever ask for. I've also dug through Jonathan Rigby's books about American, English, and European Gothic. Love those too. I was wondering if a good doctor could recommend to me any more good reading about exploitation or horror cinema.
Well, I'm surprised I didn't already recommend Maitland McDonagh's book about Dario Argento, which is a really good read. There's a brilliant book by Tim Lucas about Mario Bava called All the Colors of the Dark, which is fantastic. There is Carol J. Clover's Men, Women, and Chainsaws, which is, I imagine that you've already read because it's kind of the definitive text in terms of rethinking the slasher debate. But if you haven't, that's fantastic. And, of course, Kim Newman's Nightmare Movies, which is an encyclopedia that you can read.
Mark, thank you. That's Mark from Bristol. Thank you very much for getting in touch. On the recommendation front, Alex, on this. Mark and Simon, I have two daughters. The eldest is 7 and has watched all of the Disney films. She wants to watch films with real actors in.
Yeah.
We've started on Harry Potter, but it's getting a little too scary.
Yeah.
Anything I suggest is met with automatic resistance. This is after we tried to watch my favourite cartoon at her age, Transformers, with Eric Idle. Ah, the 80s. I am after something which is not too scary, is thought-provoking, and will inspire her wonderful imagination. As my wife likes a certain radio station, Simon Mayo is an authority figure.
Greatest Hits Radio is hitting the young audience.
My youngest daughter has even named a plastic penguin after him.
and there it is.
I mean, I think that's an accolade. Any advice from Mr. Mayo and the good doctor would be appreciated. As a side note, I watched Toy Story 4 at the cinema with Jessie, who's the eldest. I remembered Simon reading out a certain email about Toy Story years before, which I think was for Toy Story 3,
yeah.
I felt a tear run down my cheek. It was the most powerful cinema experience I have ever had. Keep up the good work, says Alex. Again, what you get from a movie is what you bring to it.
Absolutely is.
But so this is a very specific request. Two daughters, the eldest is 7, not sure the age of the younger, but anyway. Well, so we're moving. So I'm guessing this is a U certificate, really, is what we're after.
The thing that leaps to mind, because you were talking about the Harry Potters, and this is a film I've mentioned before, but there's now two versions of it. I would absolutely recommend The Amazing Mr. Blunden. You can get the original version of Amazing Mr. Blunden, which I think is Lionel Jeffries' masterpiece. It's available on DVD and Blu-ray, and you can probably download stream it as well. And it's really remarkable. It has a fantastic, fantastic score. And there was also recently a remake of it that Mark Gatiss made for Sky, which of course I mentioned because Kim Newman and I have a very brief cameo. I mean very brief, like we're in the background of a scene. And the reason that we're in it is that both Kim and I feel so strongly about the original version that when Mark Gatiss said he was remaking it, we said, look, is there any possibility we could be in the background of a scene because it's a film that we love? I think that that is an answer to your inquiry because I think I saw it when I was about 7 and I just loved it, the original. And I think that the remake does a really good job.
I think we should also throw that out, actually, because there'll be parents also sort of thinking about movies that they can see. If you've seen all of Disney and Harry Potter is too scary, what are the movies with real actors in that you could recommend? So where the threat is obviously, there might be some threat, but it's sort of under control.
There was also, of course, you know, the Disney's, the live action Disney's from the 70s, like, you know, Escape from Witch Mountain and, you know, those films, a lot of which I haven't seen since they first came out. But I remember being very fond of when I first saw them. And interestingly enough, because we were talking about Real Britannia in the, earlier on in the program, Real Britannia does talk about a lot of the Children's Film Foundation's films that were made in the 1960s. And looking at them thinking, I wonder if they are available. I wonder if they're on the BFI player or something.
I mean, everything's available.
Everything's available. Somewhere. But those Children's Film Foundation's films were really, really interesting.
Were they the movies that Clapperboard used to be able to show clips
I think so,
from?
Yes, that's
Because they could never show you...
They couldn't show you real stuff, so they had to show you stuff they had the copyright to.
Yeah, exactly. If you know any of these answers, correspondence at kirbynamo.com or the variants, which I mentioned. Doug from England, now in Finland, has written a long email to us about wave theory and all that. I'm not going to read it because it's very, very complex.
Okay. Didn't we do that earlier
on? So basically, I've done one. I just thought we probably had enough.
It's another one.
It's another one.
I'm sorry. There was two people wrote in about wave theory.
So I just want to say to Doug, thanks very much for putting it all down, but I kind of feel as though we've done it on wave theory.
You know, there's a lovely moment because in relation to that wave theory thing, when he's talking about a particle being a particle and also behaving as a wave. And the reason I said I know that, the reason I know it, and this is true, is because I had a long conversation with William Peter Blatty, the author of The Exorcist, on exactly that subject. Because Blatty, who was, you know, very influenced by Théo de Chardin and kind of science and religion and the interface between science and religion and how the more you understood science, the more it almost became like an object of faith, which you referred to before when we're talking about the multiverse. Mm. It's almost like an object of faith rather than an object of proof. Because he had used this phrase that a neutrino is scientifically a particle moving backward in time. And I said, I'm sorry, Bill, what did you mean when you said that? And he started to explain what he meant and he ended up discussing wave theory and particle, you know, how a particle can be part of a wave and part of a thing another time. And at the end of it, he went, and that's why I believe in demonic possession.
Very good. As a conclusion, that's right. Very interesting. Correspondence at kermanamo.com. Sangeeta in Leicester.
Hello, Sangeeta.
Further to your discussion about, this is my favorite email actually.
Okay.
For today's take two. Further to your discussions about avocados, I wonder if the manuf- I wonder if the manufacturers have considered changing the free toy you get in the middle. It's been a free wooden ball for as far back as I can remember. That's a very, very... Imagine the joy of eating an avocado if you opened it and there was a little plastic
train
thing in there and you go, oh, well, that's much better. Sangeeta, thank you very much. Correspondence at
kernamo.com.
So one frame back.
Yes.
For our vanguardistas.
Vanguardist.
Would that be the same? Vanguardist is plural. Vanguardista.
Vanguardisti. Anyway. Vanguardistum.
This is vanguardist. Vanguardisti would be for the Italian.
Vanguardisti sounds like a disco band.
And
number
true.
53, Vanguardisti.
This is where we explore films that are connected in some way to other work that we've been discussing. Yeah. So Mark reviewed Jurassic World Dominion on Take One this week. And you
plot
heard
spoiler,
the chat with
Jeff Goldblum, good. Rest of the film,
a little bit creaky, but
it
I still, it's still
it's fine.
Sam
it's
Neill,
fine.
Laura Dern.
It's fine.
It is fine.
But it's just no more than fine.
I think you gave it 3 stars in that newspaper that you write for.
Yeah.
And I think that's right.
It's a solid 3-star film. That's what it is.
So to enhance and expand your viewing, Mark is going to choose a great Jeff Goldblum film. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and he's unique. Every actor, I suppose, is unique, but he certainly brings a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
Matt J. Hart. He's great in Wes Anderson movies with lines like, did he just throw my cat out of the window? Mr. Speedy Wright, my favourite Goldblum flick, without a doubt, it's The Tall Guy with, of course, Emma Thompson. Thing is, when we take...
The sainted Emma Thompson.
Listener correspondence, and people obviously have names like Mr. Speedy Wright or Panicky in the UK.
Yeah.
Which is fine, it makes
Panicky
perfect
in the UK is very
sense
good.
When you're on a computer screen or if you're on a phone. But when you're reading it out into conventional podcast or as... Boris Johnson found out when he was being interviewed for Mumsnet, almost every question came from Spooky Tooth UK or Weirdy Pants, you know, so which makes it slightly unusual.
Weirdy Pants is you, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Cat Davis, conventional Cat Davis. Well, The Fly and Earth Girls Are Easy. Honestly love that movie. A mad Julian Temple alien musical comedy.
I'm very proud that I'm currently co-curating with Julian Temple the Cinearmageddon field at Glastonbury.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's coming up very soon.
Coming up very soon.
Are you going to Glastow?
As I just said, I'm co-curating the Cinearmageddon field with Julian Temple.
Doesn't mean you're actually going to be there.
Yes, I will. And I said, where am I going to stay? And Julian said, we have a luxury yurt. And I said, you can have one of those two words, but not both of them.
The train strike might be problematic there, but maybe they could helicopter you in like normal.
Like Led Zepp.
Rach Callen, I loved the Horizon film he did about the discovery of DNA. Life story also included the exceptional Juliet Stevenson, whose character was robbed of the Nobel Prize. As a young teenager interested in science, I was most indignant about this. And her peg ship says, Into the Night and the Tall Guy.
Into the Night is so good.
So what would your choice be for a one frame back and where can people watch it?
Well, so there's two things. Okay. The first one is obviously The Fly is the classic Goldblum text, not least because he gets to do some of the best speeches ever written for him, including, you're afraid to dive into the plasma pool, aren't you? You're afraid to be destroyed and recreated, aren't you? I'll bet you woke me up about the flesh. I bet you think you woke me up about the flesh, don't you? But you only know society's straight line about the flesh. You can't penetrate beyond society's sick, grave fear of the flesh. And then magnificently, drink deep or taste not of the plasma pool. And you see, when I do it, it sounds ridiculous.
It does, yes.
But when Jeff does it, it's marvellous. And I mean, it is such a brilliant film. So many fantastic moments. I mean, the moment when Gina Davis first gives him the stocking to put in the thing to demonstrate the teleportation. And it's just full of the Goldblum mannerisms. And it is widely available everywhere. The other thing I'm going to suggest is a film that is widely unavailable absolutely everywhere and appears to have disappeared off the face of the earth,
okay,
which is called The Mad Monkey, also known as Twisted Obsession after it was released under that title in America, also known as Mono Loco, which was the version that I managed to source because I couldn't get any other version of it. It is based on a novel by Christopher Frank that I believe has only been published in French, Le Rêve du Singe Fou. And it is a really, really, really messed up version of Peter Pan.
How messed up.
It just twisted and sick. And the reason I like it, it's Jeff Goldblum, Miranda Richardson, Dexter Fletcher, Lisa Walker. It's directed by Fernando Treiber, who went on to win an Oscar for Belle Epoque. And it is a really, really strange movie in which Jeff Goldblum is a writer who is hired to write a movie that is being directed by this young hotshot director played by Dexter Fletcher, who arrives on his doorstep with his sister, played by Lisa Walker. And Miranda Richardson is his agent. And at the first he says, just get me out of this, get me out of this. This is very, very bad. This is very, very bad. And the whole movie is inspired by a single quote from Peter Pan, which is his favorite book. And then it just descends into this really strange, twisted, messed up psychodrama. And Jeff Goldblum narrates the film, and he's in the film. And the sound of his narration, it's one of the best uses of Jeff Goldblum's voice I have ever heard. And every single person involved in it, when I've brought it up, have gone, oh. So I was with Miranda Richardson in Shetland. I said, oh, do you remember that? I love the Dream of the Mad Monkey. She went, oh, yeah. And then Dexter Fletcher, I was on stage with Dexter Fletcher. I said, please tell me about the Dream of the Mad Monkey. He said, well, you tell me about it, because I just, the film was, he was in love with his sister. I don't know. He was Australian for that particular interview.
I didn't realize.
And then Jeff Goldblum, who I met, Jeff Goldblum, as I said, many, many years ago in the 90s. And I said to him, I love the Dream of the Mad Monkey. And he went, the Mad Monkeys, it's called, based on the novel The Dream of the Mad Monkey. And he went, oh, yeah. And even Jeff, it's so absolutely twisted and one of the best uses of Jeff Goldblum's voice. So The Fly for everybody.
Yes.
The Mad Monkey for everybody
people.
Else.
Okay. But is it really that difficult to find?
Yeah, I can't find it. I mean, Simon Poole, I defy you to find The Mad Monkey available on a streaming or downloadable service. He'll now find it, of course.
If you've seen it or have sourced it or want to mention these movies, get in touch, correspondence@curbandmayo.com. Next week, why don't we do movies within movies? Because we're going to do Lightyear.
Yes. Fine.
Movies with movies in them? Does that make sense?
Movies within movies.
Movies within movies?
Yeah. Movies within movies is very good. And weirdly enough, one of the things that will fit perfectly for that is Mia Hansen-Love's current release, Bergman Island, which is a movie that actually turns into another movie.
So take it or leave it. You decide. This is our word of mouth thing via a podcast. Lots of votes for this, including the person who shouted it out at our church at the chapel live event a couple of weeks ago. Here's Rob in Bristol, but from Altrincham.
Okay. Shall I say something about it before, or do you want to do the email before I say something about it?
I don't know. What would you like to say about it?
Just to sort of set it up.
Okay.
So Amazon Prime is their first adult animated series from Raphael Bob Waksberg and Kate Purdy, starring Rose Salazar, who plays Alma, a disillusioned young woman who in the first episode is involved in a near-fatal car crash. When she finally comes round, she discovers, much like Billy Pilgrim in Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five, that she has come unstuck in time. Indeed, she is now inhabiting for what we shall call a multiverse in which, you know, particles and waves behave at the same time. Everything leads back to that. And different lines, different timelines are coexisting and coming together. All of this leads to a revelation about the death of her father 20 years ago. Father's played by Bob Odenkirk. And indeed, the reintroduction of his character. The program is animation. It's done through a mixture of live-action motion capture and rotoscoping and has something of the trippy feel of Richard Linklater's Waking Life. So it's like part science fiction drama, part domestic drama about fathers, daughters, sisters, and mothers. Do you want to hear a brief clip and then go into that? So here's a clip from it.
What is it?
We are here to find out exactly what your secret is, so we can help you.
Girls, it's very late, and I can smell the wine on your breath.
Who is Alejandro?
You told Alma?
I don't like keeping secrets from people.
Well, I told you. It's nothing.
We also saw this painting by Alejandro.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we know about the money you sent, and we know about the long-distance calls you've made.
I don't know what you're accusing me of, but I don't like it.
Did you have
an affair.
Excuse me?
I know you think that you're protecting us by keeping it in, but whatever you're doing, it's just making it worse.
Yeah, Mom, we're adults. We can handle it. Say you banged some guy behind Dad's back.
We're cool. Please leave my house.
No, Mom, if you care about us at all, you have to tell us the truth, because not telling us is just hurting the whole family.
I have given my life to this family.
See what I mean about the way it looks? So it's that kind of, it's live action, but animation, which is why I can make that comparison with Waking Life.
And that's on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
So Robin Bristol, thoughts on Undone. Whilst probably not perfect, I think the show does some really interesting things, as well as nicely bucking a few trends in modern sci-fi. Namely, I really like how it treats its themes and characters earnestly. Even though the show does have some laughs, it's devoid of the smug self-awareness and bathos that I find plagues a lot of modern genre filmmaking, Marvel being the prime offender, and adult animation. The use of rotoscope animation allows the show to have trippy visuals without the use of CGI, which, for me, so often takes you out of a film or TV show. Again, sorry, Marvel. It also helps create a coherent, uncanny, semi-familiar world in which the show can exist rather than an inconsistent mashup of flesh and blood actors and digital wizardry.
Yeah.
Whilst rushing through the show, so I could finish it by the end of my Prime free trial. Sorry, not sorry, Jeff. I kept thinking of so many people. They
is
go,
Jeff Bezos in space at the moment or not?
I don't know. I kept thinking of Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-5. Oh. Like Billy Pilgrim, Undone's Alma. Is it Winograd Diaz?
I imagine
Winograd Diaz. Alma is a woman unstuck in time, and the show really sticks the landing in making this dizzying yet intelligible. Up with good things, down with bad things. Robin Bristol. So he makes the Kurt Vonnegut connection.
Yeah. Well, how brilliant that a listener would make that same connection, because that was absolutely in the forefront of my mind when I was thinking about it.
Jane, who describes herself as very heritage, member of the church. Dear, it's a majority and it's a great result. Honest. Dear both, there are many things I took away from my evening at the Union Chapel. The fantastic venue, and a church inside a church, clever. Seeing Simon Poole in the flesh. Hang on, I'm just going to take that. I'm going to edit that one out. Watching you both in full flow with very little editing needed.
Really?
And Mark's oh-so-white socks. He was in my eyeline, front row, couldn't avoid him. But a much more useful thing was the
wears white socks.
A much more useful thing was a recommendation to watch Undone on Amazon Prime. I wasn't going to binge it. I really wasn't, but it just made me. 2 days later, and a bit bleary-eyed, I was telling everyone to find it. I love a time travel thing, and I was reminded of Nolan's Inception, when we are taken down the layers of bending time to suit the here and now. With every new messing with the past comes another round of problems for the main characters. Like Alma's sister Becca, we start to implore them to just leave the past alone. As morals dip and dive, we're left wondering if reimagining the past is as healthy as our wants and desires convince us it is. It is this moral minefield that raises it above a Doctor Who wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey sort of thing. And it takes 2 seasons to explore the grief of this family that want to mend the regrets that we all would want to change. Described as an adult psychological animated comedy, sounds like a tall order, but it is funny. It does deal with important grown-up themes, and the animation quickly becomes normal and preferable. But the most impressive thing is the casting. Rosa Salazar plays the truculent older sister who is submerged in her trauma and her soul searching for a better version of what she perceives as a dull life. Bob Odenkirk, immediately recognizable as his animated self, is a joy, and the relationships between them are all real, lovely, and as painful as the ones we all have. I think it goes one step too deep towards the end of season 2, but writes itself with heart and determination. I don't know who shouted the recommendation, but thank you. I loved it. So Jane, who's very heritage, that's interesting. So Someone, this is the power of the recommendation, isn't it? If someone, and then another, then you'll notice someone else says it, and then someone else says it, go, okay, Well, this is clearly for me.
I mean, it's fascinating. The Rosa Salazar thing is that I remembered only later on, of course, that she's Alita in Alita Battle Angel, which we had reviewed in the past. And I think that thing about the way in which rotoscoping, you know, live-action animation enables you to create a world that is completely coherent without, you know, having to put live-action characters into CGI is actually brilliant. That's exactly right, because it means you create the world and you get completely used to that. You know, you were just watching a clip of it just then. You get completely used to that palette and it works perfectly. And I think Rosa Salazar is really great. I haven't watched the second series. I've watched 5 episodes of the first series. The two things that struck me, quite apart from the Kurt Vonnegut Slaughterhouse-Five, which of course is one of the greatest novels ever written, is that there are also echoes of two things which I love. One of them is Life on Mars. You remember Life on Mars, the TV show, in which the John Sim character is either in a coma or he's in the 1970s. And all he knows is that in order to get back, he has to solve a crime, but he's not quite sure why. And so the thing is dripping between the two. And the other one is the Jason Isaacs series, which got cancelled, Awake. When again, there's an accident at the beginning, and then the protagonist finds himself in two different versions of the world in which different people emerged from the crash. And one of them is a dream and one of them is awake, but he doesn't know which is which, or maybe they aren't, maybe they're both. And I always thought that was something which should have had a longer life. It was a real shame that it got cancelled. I was in New York when it first premiered, and there were taxis going around New York with a picture of Jason Isaacs on the top of the taxi. Right. In the advert, it looked great, and then it didn't happen. But funnily enough, watching this, I was thinking, that's fascinating, because there are real similarities between the ideas of that and the ideas of this. I'm not saying one ripped off the other. It's just they're all in the plasma pool of ideas. And I was really, I mean, I knew nothing about Undone other than that it was recommended to me by listeners. And thank you very much, because I'm, as I said, 5 episodes in the first series, so still have much more to discover. And thank you, incidentally, everybody, for understanding that, not giving away plot spoilers about what happens when somebody is in the middle of, like I just saying to Simon Paul, you know, I'm at the end of season 2 of Ozark. Don't tell me anything. Don't tell me anything about what's coming up. But, you know, I enjoyed Undone very much. I am enjoying Undone very much.
Okay, so that's how it works. If there is something that you're watching that you think we've missed out on and is generally available, we would love to hear about it and also why you love it. correspondence@curbandmayo.com. Thank you for listening. That's been take 2. I think there's a take 3 coming up. But anyway, that's all about Top Gun Maverick.
Blimey.
And not to be discussed here. So we're pushing the boat out. Take 3 with you shortly.